This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, Teak, we got an email from our buddy Mark Stevens on the PGA Tour, who's done great things. They have a great relationship. Mark's treated us really well, and his staff, by the way. And they said, hey, what do you guys think about bringing Henrik Stenson on the show? Of course, Henrik Stenson's a world-class player. I'll never forget the great battle back in 2016, the Open Championship with Phil Mickelson right down to the end. This guy's one of the best iron players in the world, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Henrik, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I just
good.
Feel very honored, obviously, when the tour has to ask me to get on the show, then, if you didn't want to have me.
No. Here's the thing.
I didn't say they begged us.
It's interesting, Henrik, because it's your off season, so we're not thinking golf right now. We're thinking football and basketball.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question, because I know you were just down in the Bahamas at the Hero World Classic, or Hero World Championships, and you end up finishing fourth down there. It's interesting because the off season in golf, you think you just chill. You guys play so much, but you're off season, even though it's kind of not really the off season. You guys are going to the Bahamas. It must suck to be you guys in your off season.
Yeah, have to go to the Bahamas, huh? No, it's there's some fun tournaments at the end of the year. Some of the guys are playing down in Naples this week, and I'm actually got one more going to Indonesia next week. So I got one more to play before Christmas. But you're right. It's not much of an off season. We get normally about 4 or 5 weeks off over Christmas, and then I try and kind of portion out some breaks throughout the year when it's suitable, and get 2 or 3 weeks at a time so I can decompress and do some gym work and practice and work on my game and then get ready again.
Yeah, no, this golf season was really interesting, and a lot of it was centered around Tiger and him coming back, and I know he played down there as well. Let me ask you this from a perspective of a golfer who has done the grind like you've done for so many years. It feels like, hey, you're playing golf. How hard can that be? But it is a grind, because Tiger was talking about how he was worn down at the end of the year. Can you put that in perspective, what it actually takes to go through an entire season, especially for a guy who hadn't done it for so many years, months being off?
Yeah, I mean, it's both physical and mentally, obviously. When you're in the heat of the battle, when you're concentrating hard and you're in contention a lot, that's going to take a lot out of you mentally, because it's just draining, you know. And then the physical side is all the practice. It's beating balls. It's being out there the long hours, really, and the travel that comes with it. If you play a worldwide schedule and you're going from one place to another and you're changing continents, it's long-haul flights and all that, it's going to take its toll as well. So I guess it's not like maybe some guys think it's just rocking up on a Thursday and you go out and you play 4 18 all rounds and then you're off to the next one. It's a bit more to it.
You know, Henrik, one of the things that we're always aware of, we have, as I said before, we have a great relationship with the tour. We've had, you know, so many golfers on, and we really cherish that relationship. But one thing we don't want to do, and we really guard against this, whenever we have a guest on, the last thing we want to do is ask 9 questions about Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Because I
well,
get it.
You done one already, so I guess you only got a few left.
Well, I hear you, because you I have a few things I want to run by you, but I do at least want to ask, did this year feel different? Because the one thing you cannot deny about Tiger Woods, there's an energy, there's a difference in the crowd, it sounds different, the ratings are different. When you're on the course, that's got to be palpable. You can actually feel that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's. I think everyone agrees that it's great to have him back. I mean, he's in my book, he's the best player that's ever played the game. The way he won tournaments in the 2000s, and you know, to see him back in the winner's circle again was great. He's had a rough time. He's battled injuries for quite a. I mean, for the last 10 years, really, on and off. So to see him back healthy and being able to compete at the highest level again was really good. So, and you can also, like you say, you can hear a Tiger roar when you hear the crowd go crazy somewhere on the course. You can normally tell if it's for him or for someone else.
Gotcha. Talking to Henrik Stenson, of course, he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and Henrik, he's got the major references before a couple of years back. Just an incredible comeback, taking out Phil. I never thought Phil had the this is going to sound odd because Phil's gotten, he's got game to burn, but I didn't think that his game matched the Open Championship setup. So quite frankly, when he won it, his first one, I was very surprised. And then he almost won number two, but you pushed him aside. And speaking of international backdrops and international play, more specifically, you've been on, what, five Ryder Cup teams? Is that right? Five?
Yeah, this was the in Paris. Now was my fifth one. Yeah, correct.
Okay, number five. So can you explain to us why there's always drama with Team USA, and it seems like there's never drama with you guys? Like, with the Americans, they're always criticizing captains, and Patrick Reed doesn't like this guy, and Jordan Spieth. That doesn't happen to the Team Europe. Why not?
Well, I think, first of all, it's probably better to keep some of the stuff to yourself rather than the media. And I guess we sometimes you can fall for that and say a bit too much maybe at times. But, I can't really talk for Team USA. I can only talk for Team Europe. And we get along great. I don't know if it's because we played more team golf growing up, you know, for the clubs, for the regionals and for the countries growing up, and we're more used to playing match play maybe as well. So but Ryder Cup means a lot to Europe. We come together really strong as a team, and we're playing for our nation, we're playing for our continent, and for our teammates, and we do it really well, and we managed to keep up and even play better than Team USA over the last 20 years. So it's it was great to be part of it, and obviously great to win in Paris.
Yeah, no, it's one of those, just not a ton of team sports in golf, but this is one where it feels that way. And you guys have dominated us, and it's embarrassing from this side of the pond, so to speak. Let me ask you about this, the Tiger Phil match. It was match play. Do you think that's good for golf? Do you think there'll be more examples of that?
I don't know, to be honest. I was on vacation with the family, so I didn't watch any of it. But from what I take, I guess the level of golf wasn't fantastic. But it'd still be kind of fun to watch. And obviously, when you have two other greatest players, the two greatest players, I should say, that's played the game over the last 20 years, teaming up in a match, it has to be interesting to a degree. But it's one of them. It could be a great match. It could be an average match as well. It's kind of hard to know beforehand. But if it's something that's going to reoccur and be coming on often, I couldn't tell you really. And I don't know. I mean, I'm playing the game. I'm not watching it.
Yeah,
as much,
yeah.
So
yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And you know, I play football, Henrik, and so there's a bunch of secondary leagues that have popped up over the years. Like NFL Europe popped up, and the XFL popped up years ago, and XFL is coming back, as is the Alliance for American Football. But there was always this feel that it was kind of inferior football, and so people didn't really love watching it. And I kind of felt that about this contrived match between Phil and Tiger. And I asked that question because I wonder if you guys, or you, representative of the PGA Tour, think that there needs to be more action, more access, more opportunities for the fan to get deeply involved with your sport, because we love it, right? But we might be a minority for some, but we love the sport. But I feel like sometimes the access isn't always as open as some of the other sports that we see.
Yeah, I think both the European Tour and the PGA Tour obviously looking into possibilities of changing the format at some events and come out with new creative ideas to try and involve the fans and change the product a little bit. I mean, I think our biggest championships and greatest tournaments, they've always been decided over 72 hole stroke play. So I don't really see us going in and changing those ones, but there's certainly room and possibly a need to tweak some other events. And The tournament in New Orleans, the Zurich Classic, that one changed to team format a couple of years ago. We've had quite a few tournaments on the European Tour, that smaller events that's kind of changed their direction and started in doing with some different concepts, and it's been pretty well received and well liked. But I don't think we're going to go there across the board, but there's certainly room for some maneuvering.
We're talking to Henrik Stenson. Henrik, six PGA wins. He's got the major championship. I've referenced that a couple of times. Five times on the Ryder Cup, representing Team Europe and doing his thing. You know, it's funny. You watch golf. As Tiki's right. We watch all the time. We love golf. We play. We're hacks, but we love it. And you see, you know, you see the Nike swooshes. You see the Under Armours. You see the Titleist. You see the TaylorMade. You see the Puma with Ricky Fowler. Then there's this guy out there wearing Hugo Boss. And I always wondered.
Big like, timer.
Do they send you suits, too, or do they just send you golf shirts?
Of course. I've been with Boss for, I think, 13 years, 14 years now. So it's been a long-standing relationship. And I love it because I don't have that much time to go shopping. So I'm delighted when I get those deliveries. And it's off-course stuff. It's formal stuff. Obviously, the gear that I play golf in. So... I haven't started playing in a suit yet, but we'll see. That might come back in fashion.
Wait, how did that come about? How did that sponsorship come about? Because it's not organic to golf. You know what I mean?
Well, they were into golf back in the day, though. They had Seve Ballesteros, and actually,
they had Seve. I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah, Seve was on board, and I think Phil played in Boss gear for a few years. You have to go a long way back. It's before my time, but I think actually he was wearing it. And. And then, I started in 2004 and, I've been part of Team Boss ever since. So, I'm happy.
You got
great.
Your whole wardrobe set out.
Happy. You got the life. If you're not happy, something's wrong with you, Henrik Stenson. Let's be honest. I mean,
I'm delighted.
There you go. It's a little more like it. Hey, listen, we're up against a break. Really nice having you on. And as we say, stay in touch with Mark all the time. So I know we'll get you back up. Maybe before Augusta, maybe before the U.S. Open or something. We'll have you back on the show for sure.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good Patrick. Christmas, guys.
Thank you, Henrik. You too. Merry Christmas to you. There you go, Henrik Stenson.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on. He's always an ambassador. Every time we have him, or a lot of these guys, Massage Envy ambassadors. He's also, I didn't realize this, we should ask him. He's an entrepreneur, and he started an eyewear company. We need to get like our...
Eyewear? Like shades?
Like for golf, or, you know, for...
Well, send us some products.
Exactly. Give us some products.
Send it over here.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention his foundation, the Henrik Stenson Foundation, which donates a portion of all of his winnings to that foundation. It supports Childhood Foundation, Friend Foundation, and SOS Children's Village and Kids Swing International.
I've always liked him.
Yeah, I do too.
And he's got he's long and lean. He's got very supple. He's got a very buttery.
That's why Hugo Boss.
That's true. I was thinking
him
that.
In
yeah.
His gear.
No, we're not going to put it on Patrick Reed. No disrespect to Patrick. We got to get somebody who's tall and thin.
Supple and buttery.
He is one of the best iron players in the world. Henrik Stenson's a hell of a player.
Good adjectives there.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.